Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today, because we don't have a lot of other Tesla news going on, I thought we'd spend some time going through NIO Day, which NIO held a couple of days back, and I've gotten quite a few questions on. So we do have a little bit of Tesla news that we'll go through. We'll talk here about the stock right at the start, and then we'll go through some takeaways from NIO Day, where they announced a new vehicle, some changes to their autonomous driving plans, and infrastructure. First up, we'll take a look at Tesla stock, though. Tesla bounced back today from the down 8 performance to start the week, finishing the day up 4.7% to $849.44, that compared to the NASDAQ up 0.3%. There was a bit of confusion today. A couple of places had sent out that Tesla had set a date for their Q4 earnings report. Martin Viecha on Twitter did confirm that no official date has been set yet. My expectation is that earnings will be released after market close on Wednesday, January 27th, and I think we'll hear about that in the next few days. All right, moving on to NIO then. I think everyone is familiar with them. Over the weekend, they held an event, NIO Day, in which they had quite a few new announcements, including updates to their autonomous hardware, a new premium all-electric sedan, and an update on their battery swap initiative. So I want to give my early thoughts on this and sort of the relevancy to Tesla. I wouldn't consider this necessarily a deep dive into NIO Day, more of an overview and strategic discussion. We'll start off with the product. This is probably catching the most attention. So NIO unveiled a new premium sedan, the ET7, and they expect to begin shipping this in Q1 of 2022. It will come with three different battery size variants, 70 kilowatt hour, 100 kilowatt hour, and then later to come in Q4 of 2022, 150 kilowatt hour solid state battery. This really is a Model S type of vehicle. It would start at around $70,000 depending on if you purchase the battery or you use NIO's battery rental system. And for the 150 kilowatt hour solid state version, I did not see a price. I do not believe that has yet been announced. So of course, solid state, always very interesting to people. I don't think NIO shared a ton of detail on this other than the timeline, and then they also said they're expecting to be able to hit 360 watt hours per kilogram in terms of energy density. For context, it's believed that coming out of battery day, Tesla should be somewhere around 300 watt hours per kilogram in that range. Elon, in an interview back a couple months ago, said that that was essentially what would be needed for an 800 kilometer range on the semi-truck, and they said that they can achieve that. And Musk said that over time they expect to be able to drive that range up to about 1,000 kilometers on the semi. So if all of that were achieved through battery energy density improvements, that would be about 375 watt hours per kilogram. Obviously, there could be other ways that he sees the range improving other than strictly cell energy density. So anyway, back to NIO, that 360 watt hours per kilogram number would be strong, but when you get up and you're talking, you know, 500 plus miles of range, you really need to start considering cost more than energy density. So the big question that NIO would have to answer if they are delivering on this solid state technology is, okay, what is the cost here? What is the cycle life? What is the degradation? And we're probably not going to have great answers on any of those things for many, many years to come, well beyond 2022, at least from NIO. Without more of that information, it's really tough for me to get too excited about. And remember, the 70 kilowatt hour version of this vehicle, the ET7, is going to start at around $70,000. So the 150 kilowatt hour, I'm sure we're going to be talking $100,000 plus, so this is a low volume vehicle. The other consideration that needs to be made here, and this will kind of bring us into the next point about battery swap, is you can't just consider the battery cell energy density. You really need to consider the energy density for the vehicle as a whole. And this is why Tesla has moved towards wanting to do a structural battery rather than packing their battery cells up into battery modules and then a battery pack and then putting a battery pack inside a structure of a vehicle. They actually want the battery pack to be that structure. Tesla at Battery Day said that this will lead to a 14% increase in range. Now, unfortunately, it's a bit unclear how much of that 14% is driven from just being able to actually fit more batteries, or how much of it is driven from weight savings of a structural battery architecture. But if we're looking at the top of the market and this vehicle has absolutely as much batteries in it as can fit, then the impact of that structural battery architecture would mean that a 300 watt hour per kilogram battery cell with the structural architecture would get the exact same range as a 342 watt hour per kilogram battery cell that did not have that structure. This is where we get into the battery swap program, because with NIO's strategy here to go after battery swapping, they cannot do a structural battery. So even if NIO could get a solid state battery at high volume, low cost, which I think are relatively unlikely, good degradation characteristics, 360 watt hours per kilogram, the improvement over where Tesla is at and where Tesla is going by 2022 would be relatively small, if anything, and any of those advantages would be mitigated to some extent because of the choice of architecture. By this point, my thoughts on battery swap as a strategy are probably pretty clear. I'm not a big fan of the strategy. This is something that NIO is pursuing pretty heavily. At NIO Day, they announced their Power Swap Station 2.0, which NIO says can handle 312 battery swaps at maximum per day. So best case, that's once every 4.5 to 5 minutes. The form factor of the station is large. I would not say it's overwhelmingly large, but probably the size of about a 3-car garage, maybe a little bit bigger. They've built it to have a capacity of 13 battery packs and one open battery pack slot. And that number of 13, likely chosen because that, at the turnover rate of 312 per day, would allow each of these to turn over once every hour. That's important because that means to connect a station like this, you still need to have the capability of very high speed charging. So I don't think there's any cost savings there from an infrastructure perspective of being able to charge at a lower rate. And the additional infrastructure required to actually handle the battery swap is going to be much more expensive than simply putting up a charging stall. And again, the maximum throughput here for this entire station is 13 cars per hour. In terms of how they're functionally being used, that throughput rate or that turnover rate is probably not that much higher than you would see from having the 4 supercharger stations that you could put in the space anyway. If you're talking V3 and each of those cars is using the supercharger for 20 minutes, then your turnover from those 4 stalls every hour would be 12 vehicles. You may not leave with a full charge like you might at a battery swap station, but it's certainly going to be much, much more cost effective. So battery swap is cool. Obviously, Tesla many years back had tried their hand at battery swapping too to see if the technology made sense. They opted against pursuing it further. I think as range continues to go up, charging speeds continue to improve. Battery swapping just continues to make less and less sense over time. Not to mention a structural battery. Plus, if you're doing this sort of battery swapping, that's a whole new line of business that you need to manage. At any given time, what, you're just gonna have these 13 packs sitting at the station idle, not being used for anything? You can't really use them for vehicle-to-grid sort of balancing purposes because they need to be full, ready to go for the next customer. Maybe there's a small amount of arbitrage opportunity available there, but otherwise you're just gonna have a megawatt hour of batteries sitting there at each of these stations, providing almost no value. You also then have to manage the various different types of batteries. Are you really going to want to drive into one of these stations with your 150 kilowatt hour ET7 only to get swapped in a 70 kilowatt hour battery? Probably not. It also limits you from a form factor perspective. For example, you're probably not going to be able to fit a 150 kilowatt hour battery in some NIO vehicles. So you either need to be able to handle multiple SKUs of batteries, different form factors, or you have to exclude some of your products from these battery swap stations. If that's the case, you're minimizing the utility that you're getting out of these infrastructure investments. That's not the case, that would never be the case, with a charging station, which will be able to, at least with some utility, handle anything you can throw at it for the foreseeable future. And then I think the final point that I would make here is that once you start swapping these batteries out from different cars, customers are going to start treating their battery really poorly. They're not going to care if they're charging to 100% every day. It's not their battery, they don't care about the degradation. Maybe your chemistry works well with that, like lithium iron phosphate seems to. But if not, you're again marginalizing the value that could be extracted out of that battery pack because of poor care. Of course, to some extent that could be controlled with software, but then again, you are applying another limit. So I understand that the infrastructure in China is different. I understand that there is some appeal to customers of just these quick swaps, not having to worry about sitting and waiting for a charge. This just seems like an incredibly over-engineered solution, which is not cost-effective, and cost being one of the main prohibiting factors of electric vehicle adoption today. Also, supercharging is just not that bad. When you have to charge, can you really not sit there for 20 minutes and watch a show on Hulu or Netflix, or watch a YouTube video, or go on your phone and do some work on your phone? Apparently, the average smartphone user is on their phone 3 hours a day. In America, that's about 5.5 hours a day. Can you really not afford to have half an hour of that on occasion be sitting at a supercharger? I don't think so. All right, let's move on to autonomous driving. NIO announced their next generation set of hardware. So they have this sort of divided into 2 categories. Aquila would be sort of the sensor suite, and then Atom is what they're calling their system on a chip computer hardware, which would be analogous to Tesla's full self-driving chip or the Hardware 3 full self-driving computer. This definitely pulled Tesla into some headlines with NIO because NIO directly compared the operations per second performance of the Atom setup with Tesla's full self-driving computer. NIO said that the Atom setup will perform 7 times the operations per second as Tesla's FSD Hardware 3. Looking at things even one step below the surface level though, we can see this is actually NVIDIA technology, and actually NVIDIA technology that was announced back in 2019, so this shouldn't come as any big surprise. Basically, they're using the NVIDIA Drive Orin, and they're using 4 of these chips in their setup. So the NVIDIA Drive Orin does 254 trillion operations per second, or TOPS, versus Tesla's Hardware 3, which does 144 TOPS. So NIO is planning on using 4 of these from NVIDIA, 254 times 4 gives them 1,016 TOPS. That's where they're getting the 7 times amount from Tesla's 144 TOPS. So that's important, but it is only a piece of the puzzle. If we go back to Tesla's Autonomy Day, they outlined their goals. And one of their goals, obviously, was low cost, but also low power consumption for the FSD computer. They had targeted under 100 watts and came out at 72 watts. For Neo, it looks like the solution is going to be much more power intensive using 4 of these Orin chips. I don't believe they said the power consumption. I'm not even sure if that's been disclosed by Nvidia, but from what I can see online, it looks like they were targeting between 60 and 70 watts per chip. So Neo's solution here looks like it could take up to 250 watts, which would be 3.5 times as power intensive as Tesla's Hardware 3. In practice, maybe that's a little bit lower, but there is a trade-off there for the additional TOPS. Obviously, for an electric vehicle, that trade-off would come at the expense of range. Then if we look at cost, obviously using 4 of these chips from Nvidia is going to have a much higher cost per part than it would if Neo had developed their own internal solution like Tesla has done. The last note I'll make on that particular comparison is that Neo is comparing what they hope to ship in 2022 with what Tesla was actually shipping in 2019. 3 years is a long time in this space. Tesla at Autonomy Day in 2019 said that they were already working on Hardware 4. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that started shipping from Tesla in 2022, invalidating this comparison. So my final thoughts here, if we kind of compare all the things that Tesla talked about at Tesla Battery Day versus what Neo is talking about here at Neo Day, there is a huge focus on Tesla on everything cost related. Tesla is extremely focused on that. If we flip over to Neo, they're talking about solid state batteries, they're talking about battery swap stations, they're talking about using 4 of these chips from Nvidia. There just does not seem to be that same laser focus on cost efficiency. Maybe you could argue that their focus on battery rental is a focus on that cost, but really that's a financial engineering technique rather than a cost focus. So the point here isn't to try to knock Neo, it's just to assess the things that I'm seeing from Neo and from Tesla, compare them, and I just really like what I'm hearing from Tesla a lot more than what I'm hearing Neo talk about. That doesn't mean that Neo can't find some success, it just means that I prefer and have more confidence in Tesla's path. All right, moving on from Neo, we'll wrap up here with a couple of quick Tesla news items. The first is on some progress that Tesla's making in India. They have registered a business unit in India, incorporating Tesla Motors India and Energy Private Limited on January 8th. We've of course talked about this before, but by population, India is the second most populated country, though the vehicle market is a little bit smaller. I think it's 5th or 6th in terms of vehicles per year at about 3 million, with a lot of those vehicles being in the lower price bands. So for example, BMW and Mercedes, they each sell about 10,000 units per year in India, and then companies like Honda and Toyota sit at about 130,000 vehicles per year. So the big question regarding India is what Tesla's footprint looks like there. Are they actually going to build some manufacturing? Is this just going to be small import volume or some sort of blend in between somewhere? I think their vehicle potential in the near term is relatively limited, but there definitely seems to be a lot of interest in the company in India. And what I would be most excited about is the potential for Tesla Energy and Tesla Solar. India as a country ranks 3rd in energy consumption, and of course, in terms of potential for solar, they've got a great climate for it. Finally then today, the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration in the United States has published their safety ratings for the Model Y. And unsurprisingly, just like Tesla's other vehicles, the Model Y has received a 5-star safety rating in every category. So congrats to Tesla for that achievement, and that is where we're going to leave it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, January 13th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.